In 1901, Schoenberg married Matilda, his first wife, who was the sister of his friend and mentor, Alexander Zemlinsky. And two children were born to them, Gertrude in 1902 and Georg in 1906. Georg, who is fondly remembered as Gergi, was the apple of his father's eye. Presumably, he started studying music at an early age, beginning with the piano. By his early teens, he'd chosen the horn as his instrument, and in addition to being enrolled in the gymnasium in Mödling, where the family was living, he was also studying at the Akademie für Musik in Vienna. In 1923, his mother, Matilda, died. And with this, everything began going downhill for Georg. His father remarried and moved to Germany the following year. And with this, Georg was sent to live with Schoenberg pupil Olga Novakovich, in Vienna, and soon dropped out of both schools. He studied acting for a while, and now forced to earn a living, he found work, freelance work, as a copyist of music scores, largely with the music publisher Universal Edition. In 1929, Georg married Anna Sachs, and a daughter, Gertrude, nicknamed Susie, was born to them. When Austria was occupied by the Nazis in 1938, Georg, the son of the decadent Jewish composer, had his passport stamped with a J by the Gestapo, and resultantly could find no work. Several opportunities to leave presented themselves, but this was for himself alone, and he chose to remain with his little family. By the greatest good fortune, steady work came, loading, driving, and unloading a truck for local produce distributors Alexander and Christina Kiss. It was backbreaking, to say nothing of utterly demoralizing work. The late Alfred Schley of Universal Editions, remembering Georg from those days, said that he had never seen anyone with eyes so sad. One day in 1943, Georg was notified that he was to be deported to Theresienstadt, the way station to Auschwitz. Anna, his Aryan wife, went to plead with the Gestapo, and his employer, Alexander Kiss, added his voice that everyone was in the army, and that if they took Georg away, there'd be no one to drive the truck, and the vegetables would rot. Fortunately, the Gestapo relented, and Georg was never seriously troubled by them again. In 1944-45, Mödling and its environs came under heavy Allied bombardment because there were factories making jet engines nearby. But Georg was not allowed in the air raid shelter because of his alleged Jewish ancestry. One day, as he was cowering near their apartment building, a bomb landed beside it and sent a huge piece of pavement up into the sky, which came down right in the middle of the living room and rendered the place uninhabitable. Happily, a solution presented itself when Frau von Webern, wife of the composer, encountered Georg on the street one day and offered him the apartment of her son-in-law, a member of the SS who had fled to Salzburg in advance of the Russians. Sometime towards the end of the war, Georg joined the Austrian Widerstand, the resistance movement. Then one day in 1945, word came that Russian troops were advancing toward Mödling, and for a brief moment, Georg became a hero. The whole civilian population, including Anna and Susie, had fled down into the bunkers, terrified out of their wits. With the arrival of the liberators, word came that they were going to dynamite the place, suspecting that Nazi soldiers and munitions were concealed there. Only Georg, the documented Jew, had the courage to go and reason with them and save all of their skins. And to this day, he's known to a few older people thereabouts as Der Retter der Felsenhöhle, the savior of the cave. After the war, Georg worked as a night watchman in a factory, then did office work and collections from vendors for the newspaper Neues Österreich. And then in 1954, he began working full-time and exclusively for Universal Edition, which provided a small salary for office work and individual payments for music copying, which enabled him to qualify for an old age pension in 1970, which he lived to collect until his death 4 years later. Just when he began composing, there's no way of knowing for sure. From my experience with such things, probably it was at a fairly early age, perhaps as he began learning piano as a little boy. How many works he composed in all, there's also no way of knowing. His daughter Susie Supan Schoenberg has said that he destroyed a goodly number of scores in the final decade of his life. Six in all remain, and the scores of five have been passed on to us at the Lark Ascending by Susie, who lives in Austria. To date, we have performed three of them. Now, with tonight's performance, we'll have performed all five. A few observations concerning the Wind Quintet. The title suggests that Georg conceived of this work as a unified composition, although it is untraditional in a couple of ways. First, it is in six movements, rather than the more usual three or four. The instrumentation is somewhat unusual as well. One would expect flute, oboe, clarinet, and bassoon, or oboe, horn, clarinet, and bassoon. The replacement of the oboe with its lower-pitched cousin, the English horn, adds a slightly darker tone to the sonority. The full score of the piece is lost, so we had only the individual parts to work with. We know that there was a performance at some point in Europe, so this is the second performance and the American premiere. And now let's welcome our musicians to perform the Wind Quintet.